just cherish these moments. Just relish the days in front of revival. Hallelujah. These are the days we get to call it in. Sight unseen. Hallelujah. But yet we are seeing it. Hallelujah. We are seeing it. Hallelujah. There'll come an hour that you won't even hardly be able to remember why people didn't show up. Because it'll be a compelling thing. A compelling thing to get to the place where God is doing all of His miracles. Hallelujah. We get a short window of time right now, Marty. This is the best days of my God. These are the faith-filled days that give Him the greatest pleasure. Hallelujah. We're going to rejoice a little bit more. Glory. Because the blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The dead are being raised. Hallelujah! Catching this. Yes, sir. Okay. Do you know what he's saying in that? He's instructing us. Something like this. The next wave that comes in, there's always waves. Clarify. Not, he's talking about the next financial wave that comes. He said, get everything in good order. Pay off everything you can. And he didn't tell me that because of a crisis. He wanted you to be able to live on hardly anything. Amen. So you could camp out at the church. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what he said. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. How many of Hallelujah. You think he'd like for you to have everything paid up, paid off, so you could come down in the middle of the day, any day you wanted to, and just hang out and disciple a bunch of little kids, not being concerned about, I got to be there. I got to. No, you are so leisurely. So leisurely. That if you wanted to, if you didn't want to go in, you didn't have to. And that's kind of what he was saying in that tongue. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah! I think he's wanting us to get close to get ready for revival, Maria. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So what does that mean? Next time the wave comes through, don't buy a bigger and a better. Downsize.
Amen.
Downsize.
Amen.
So you can live off hardly anything. And it'll be more than enough. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. We worship you.
Well, I didn't step up here to say all that. He's getting us ready for revival, isn't he? Hallelujah. Thousands, 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 thousands. And you know what? You'll still feel this same family atmosphere.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because if it's a true revival, it won't be spotlight on stage and some guy walks out in a gorgeous suit and everybody is like, oh, look at him and his 12 elders up there and we wish we could get to the bee with the mucky mucks. In fact, you won't hardly even know who's in charge when it starts taking place. It'll just be all out there among us. Somebody will be in charge, but you won't hardly know because it'll be happening in such a vastness that it won't be on one person's spotlight. It'll just be all over. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. He said, prophesy of the days to come. I think that I was. Hallelujah. Woo. About stepped out in outer space. Now, if I'd have walked across here, hugged my daughter, walked back across on that same level, I think revival would have broke loose. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Lord. More peace, more love. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So that's where you're going if you're on His walk. What you're wanting to attain is more love. More love is more peace. You don't have to pray, God, give me more peace. You can ask for more peace. That's a noble thing. He said, seek peace and pursue it. But if you have that God kind of love, peace automatically comes, because peace casts out fear. And what replaces fear is more peace. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You say, well, I'm not afraid. I know. You may not be necessarily controlled by a spirit. And you may not have days of depression or anything like that. But the freer you get, the more removed from fears and torments. You get further and further and further away from it. Hallelujah. And the further you're away from it, the better you're able to minister to everybody else. See, what we've been preaching on Sunday is that our life's not our own. It's not. But did you know, even knowing that, you still can't toe the mark unless grace. This is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He received grace from the Father. The Father said, this commandment I give you. What commandment? You can lay your life down or you can take it up. You know, He received grace to lay His life down. Guess what? You've got a spirit that's just like His spirit now. You've got the prototype, which is Christ, standing in your stead. And if you'll use Him as your prototype and confess, there's not a thing that stands between you and the Father that you won't eventually have the grace to lay down your life. And my God, the more you can lay your... You can tell when you start laying your life down. You get more peace. More peace. More peace. More peace. And more peace. Hallelujah. You can tell how much the self is ruling. It's fretful. Lack of peace is a good barometer that the self life, and I'm not talking about you wanting to go out and commit some carnal crime or carnal sin. I'm just talking about that place that doesn't want to die to the nature of little kids getting out of wheelchairs. That's another level that we're going to. Hallelujah. And that's about all I've been resigned to lately to talk to. The other people have been getting saved, but I think He's starting to hone in on us having this revival more than anything else. And it's not like everybody party's over, everybody out of the pool, go home if you're not a revivalist. It's not that. It's just that if we who are revivalists don't bring it back, if we don't go and get the grapes and bring it back and show it to them, if they can't see your peace, then what are they going to pursue? Why are they going to pursue it? Hallelujah. But they're going to see it. Hallelujah. I was so blessed Saturday. Certainly wasn't blessed when I heard that Gary left and went home. And I couldn't remember hardly Gary until Matt told me Sunday night. He goes, don't you remember? He said Carl and Gary were sitting up on the row, front row, and it was on a Wednesday night, I think. And I said something about, you know, I think it might have been when I was praying for Carl's ankle during that time. I don't know. But Gary was there. I said, what's your name, son? He said, Gary. I said, that's a good name to have. Hallelujah. But, you know, just Saturday, when Homer and I found out about it, you know, driving away knowing that how that Homer could handle that was, I think, the greatest feeling. Knowing that the doctrine and all of the facilitation of years of wisdom was locked up inside of him, and I didn't have to go do anything. It's not that I didn't want to get involved, it's just that I didn't have to. And Sunday night, I wasn't coming over because, I just knew that I didn't have to. And but I got to seeing all the cars over here. It looked like, as Candy said, you got to see it. It looks like a Sunday morning crowd of cars. So I came over here because I want to see every portrait of revival, what it's going to look like. And I told Homer later, I said, he did a masterful job. He just did a great job. And not only he, but other people that were working with him, I was watching. But when I was walking over and the church was full, there must have been, I don't know, maybe 120 or 30 kids in here. But when I was walking over, I was almost weeping, and I knew that God had a hub. He had something that He could pull kids to and bring them to get them healed. And I knew the reason why. And the reason why was the same reason that I knew about Homer and others of you. See, the reason why He can get somebody healed in the gifts of healings. And that's really mainly and mostly, it's when He was talking about physical, He's talking about miracles. But then He talks about the gifts of healing, or healings as in plural. And the reason why He can do that, most generally, believe it or not, is through doctrine. It's through proper doctrine. It's because you have the facilitation of truth on the inside of you, and because you have truth living on the inside of you, then the Holy Spirit can come and anoint it, and you can step into a real troubled situation where people are saying, I don't understand, I don't understand. You can step up, not like a know-it-all, but in humbleness, and say, here's the reason, but here's a greater understanding. This is what's going on spiritually. And you can offer the doctrine that's on the inside of you. Well, here's the good part. Some of you are called to the fivefold, and the fivefold would be like you're going to teach doctrine, but not all of you are called to the fivefold to teach doctrine. But I can tell you, all of you that have been a part of this, all of you are carrying doctrine on the inside of you. By praying in other tongues a lot, it accesses or accessorizes doctrine. What's doctrine? It's truth as God sees it and as God is truth. It's not traditions of man. See, this is where when we worship Him, and we love to talk about what we talked about Sunday when Jesus said to the woman at the well, those who worship Him will worship Him. Two different things. Worshippers will be two in two parts. Spirit and in truth. And in truth. Well, the spirit part we understood quite some time ago. That was the new nature. That's the DNA. That's when I talk about you are equipped from the moment get-go to worship Him, because you've got a spirit that David didn't have. You've got a DNA that says, Abba. And He says, yeah, boy. Yeah, girl. That's what frustrated. I think you can taste David's tears in a lot of his psalms, because he knew that he didn't have quite something. There was one chromosome that kept him from the full DNA. He was just, oh God, can you cheat a little bit with me? Can I just... And I think he tasted it, but that's all he could do. You and I have got the full intake of it. Hallelujah. We're sons and daughters of God. Well, that's spirit. But the truth was this. Everything that spirit had the capacity to teach you about God. You can know Him in truth. You could worship Him in truth, as in you would know Him as in doctrine. Jesus absolutely clarified it when He said, look, you Pharisees, He said, in vain. In vain. He said, truly, Isaiah prophesied of you. He said, in vain, you do worship Me. Now, the one thing I would not want to do is I wouldn't want my worship to be in vain. I want it to be paying off great dividends. I want every bit of my worship to be a koinonia between me and my Father, a rapport, that the intimacy, the when I worship Him, He comes and He sups with me and me with Him, and there's some kind of dialogue, some kind of antiphonal praise. I'm praising Him and He's loving on me, and it's back and forth. It's a ping pong kind of match going on between me and Him. I want it to be paying off. Jesus said, in vain, you do worship, teaching for doctrine, teaching as if it was truth, the traditions of man. Meaning this, when you say stupid things about God, when you twist Scripture, and my friend, do you know how many churches with good intentions? It's not that they don't read the Scriptures. They just don't interpret them right. They twist them. They twist them. And unless you've got a teacher that you're very much employed with, and unless you understand the rules and regulations of meditation, you will be teaching for doctrine the traditions of man and the Holy Spirit. I don't care if you how much you think He's in the room. He's limited. It's not that He won't come, but your perception of Him, if you think that He kills people when He doesn't, even though you're saying, I love you, that there's something on the inside of you that has tainted your level of rapport because you believe something about Him that doesn't exist. So you can't fully express your love to Him. Even when you say, I love you, something is tainting your understanding because you believe something, you believe it's a doctrine. You believe it's a truth and it's only a tradition. But Spirit and truth is this. You got the Spirit. You got all of the wherewithal to do it. And then when you activate it, it'll bring you to the truth about everything that He is. So then when you lift your hands and then when you worship Him and you cry, Abba, Father, one single syllable. It's not in the words you say. It's not in the words you say. It's in all, I mean, a whole volume of books and volumes of understanding can be passed over in the Spirit just by one Abba. I mean, a world can be contained in that. Because when you call Him Father, you know every truth that has been presented to you by the Holy Spirit. You know who He is. You know what He's about. You know all of His character. You know what He's wanting to get done in the earth. You know His healing power that He distributed through Christ Jesus. And He's wanting to use you in the same manner that He used Him in. And when you say Abba, whole world's locked up inside of that. And He'll just come and provide an atmosphere. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. So, the greatest things I can see is not only that we're getting closer to revival, but a lot of you are really carrying the weight of truth. The weight of truth. Even when you show up different places and you're nice to people when they say dumb things. You know, in fact, you're just wasting your breath if somebody's not praying in tongues to try to correct them. You may feel an urge to do that. A long time ago, I stopped doing that. I was sitting at a table with Dave one time and somebody was saying something stupid and I think he thought I was going to correct him. I just let it go. Later he told me, he goes, thank you for not saying anything. He said, you were real nice. I said, well, It just goes with the, if you pray enough in tongues, you'll know, not only do they not know what they're talking about, but it's not going to do you any good to stand there and keep on and keep on. Now, if they're hungry and they start asking questions, for God's sake, feed them. Feed them. Feed them. But if they've got it like they want it and they're not going to listen, you're not going to do any good. You're not going to do any good. But do you know why He comes? Like what we're feeling? Do you know why He comes? It's two parts. You've got a spirit that you're learning and practicing. But the other part is what's being taught. Doctrine, truth, and the continual tearing down of tradition about everything. And I don't know how much more tradition still in me or among us, but I can tell you this. What's bringing Him is spirit and truth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, now, this, I'm not saying it to be mean, but it nevertheless is true. You can go to a church and you say, my God, they shook the walls down. I mean, they run and jumped and shouted and spit and they had a time. I mean, they're moving in with God. That church is a moving in with God. But then the guy gets up and feeds them a bunch of stuff that's stupid and teaches them how to run after money. Now, you know what? He said up here a while ago, it had to be by the Holy Ghost. The fact of the matter is, what you'd normally hear is the opposite of that. Prosper. God wants you to prosper and have bigger and better. Well, He does want you to prosper. But the end of it, when He was saying something about prosper so you don't have to have, when He said prosper and pay off everything, don't buy on the next wave bigger and better. Downsize so you can come to the church anytime you want to. Glory be to God. What if a bunch of teenagers get saved? What accountability do we stand in if we say, well, I can't get there because I got a job? That's okay right now. But what if He's given us this and you say, well, I bought bigger and better, so I cannot leave my job. I think He's going to hold us to the line about those kind of things. What if a bunch of people get saved and you say, hey, I'm not talking about living out of poverty. I'm talking about having everything you need. But if you had to have $1,000 or $2,000 a week last year, and then you only have to have $500, and you still can keep up everything, because everything's pretty much paid off, then you can come down and say, hey, I don't have to spend my day at the office. I don't have to spend my day in the field. Hey, I can spend between 8 and 5 worshiping. Or Homer, do you trust me enough to take this bunch and teach these 10? Or Pastor, my God. That's revival. Hallelujah. That's where we're headed. Glory be to God. I'll share this church with a bunch of you. If you get to praying too loud, I'll just put my earmuffs on or something. Well, they can shake the walls down and say, we're having church. But if somebody stands up and regurgitates and teaches, even when they were crying and weeping, they were not in, listen to me, full expression of worship. The fuller your worship gets depends on spirit. That's an obvious. You have to be born again. The next thing that takes you further and further is truth. Your perception of who He is, that dialogue of truth that comes by the Word of God. And then you worship Him out of that truth, and every perception about who He is makes you stronger in His spirit, and it brings the truth. It goes beyond emotions. Yeah, we shook the walls down, but then somebody got up and said, well, sometimes He does this and sometimes He does that, and let's all run after money and let's do this and that. That in breed or inbred kind of false doctrine inside of them, whether they realize it or not. It's running a program against truth. Now, if they keep worshiping and will ever pray in tongues, the man that's saying it will stop saying it, or else they will switch churches. But no matter how they cry and weep and their mascara runs off their face and they run, they've still not gone to the place of worship until they're worshiping Him out of spirit and truth, which is sound doctrine. God, that's good stuff. That's right out of the Father. Hallelujah. Man, hallelujah. And I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm just part of it. I'm not the main one. I'm just part of. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I was watching Homer, and he brought those kids in, and he gave them good, sound doctrine and nurtured them. And I hadn't had anything to do with it, and I will if I need to. And then I could see Matt ministering, and I'm sure some of the ladies were. But I knew that whatever they were telling them wasn't patty cake stuff. Glory be to God. And you know, in the days ahead, He's going to cause a bunch of people to come here because of doctrine. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But I got to tell you this. This part I wish you'd have just left alone. Just, that was all happy. Don't make me say this. No, this is happy too if you're sober. If you're sober, and you are. The reason why Paul was so fought against was doctrine. He said, because I held the keys to knowledge and I got revelation, He came to fight me on it. But guess what? If you learn grace, you trump Him. That's the trump card. So that comes by praying in tongues and truth. We know we have an adversary. He hates what we know. He hates this message of praying in tongues because it keeps you from being stupid. And it causes people to gravitate to you. You don't even have to go after them. They'll come and say, can I ask you a question? Can you help me? Hallelujah. But know this, that He hates you. And some of you, He's starting to hate like He hates me. I don't know if you like that compliment or not. Nevertheless, what I'm saying is, stay in the truth. There's nothing to fear. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep doing what you're doing. If you know He's out there, then you're set. You're good. When He comes, you'll know, hey, grace. Stepping over into that part of me that just stands by the Word. Doesn't try to figure it out with the mind. Hallelujah. Okay. I like prophecy and teaching all at the same time, don't you? Usually, where He comes at is usually when there's great victories. And God uses you the most. So you don't have to walk around on pins and needles like, where's He going to hit me at? But you'd be real, real smart in the Spirit that if you ever launch any kind of thing for God, He hates the stuffings. I'm talking about something that wallops a punch where like there was probably three or four dozen kids that got saved up here. It was a bunch of hands. I don't know. I'm not trying to exaggerate. There was 20 or 30 kids that raised their hand to get saved. Some of them may have been saved and renewing their life, but it changed their life. Changed their life. Well, we're not scared of Him and we're not scared of good works. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're hardened soldiers. Hallelujah. We just keep getting up. Glory be to God.